This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters, you and I know this is the month of Ramadan, and very quickly the first week of Ramadan has already passed. We ask Allah to accept from us our fasting, our sacrifice, our recitation of the Quran, our participation in Salatul Taraweeh, and the changes that we have made. May Allah help us to save those changes as we leave the month of Ramadan at the end of this beautiful month. But Ramadan is a habit-building month. Allah gives you 1 month to push yourself, to build the habit of fulfilling your prayer, of doing the right thing, of being charitable, of reciting the Quran, of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of abstaining and controlling yourself when it comes to something Allah has told you not to do. This month should help you build the habit for the rest of the year by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And before you know it, inshallah, we will already get to the next Ramadan if Allah wills. But as you and I know, death can overtake anyone at any time, so we must always be prepared for it or have it in our mind that we might not make it to the next Ramadan. This is why we say make the most of what you have right now. Because when you have something with you right now in your hand, it is worth far more than something that is not in your hand at all and there is no guarantee. May Allah Almighty help us make use of this beautiful month. Ibrahim alayhi salam, one of the greatest of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he questioned who his Lord was in order to be able to understand the reality of this creation. So he looked towards the stars, he looked towards the moon, he looked towards the sun. He did not worship these at all, but he questioned, saying at the end, who is the maker of all of these creatures? He is my maker as well. If I were to ask you, who made you? Who created you? Here we have the youngster saying, Allah. Beautiful answer. As people grow older, sometimes the mind becomes contaminated because people drift away from the reality of the answer of that question. It is very simple. As clever as you are, as wealthy as you are, as powerful as you are, where were you before you were born? You were with Allah. Where will you be after you die? You will be with Allah. For that reason, when someone passes away and we are given the news, we consider it a musibah. Musibah meaning a hardship, a difficulty, a calamity. And immediately we say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Indeed, we belong to Allah, and unto Allah we shall return. You and I need to realize that death is coming. It has to come. It will be there. Instead of freezing and becoming so frightened of the day that you're going to go, prepare for it. Your Lord is merciful. He is kind. He is the most forgiving, the most honoring, the most gentle. That is your Lord. He is looking for an excuse to forgive you. When you look at this month of Ramadan, people say it's a month of fasting, correct. It's a month of the Quran, correct. It's a month of charity, correct. It's a month of developing a better relationship with Allah, known as taqwa, la'allakum tattaqoon, correct. But it is primarily a month of forgiveness, a month of seeking forgiveness. The hadith says, وَيْلٌ لِّمَنْ أَدْرَكَ رَمَضَانَ فَلَمْ يُغْفَرْ لَهُ. At a loss is the one, or destruction be upon the one, or woe be upon the one who has witnessed the month of Ramadan and was not forgiven. did not achieve forgiveness. If I am looking for a product at a supermarket and I enter the supermarket and I can see the product I want and it is for sale, and I look at it and I say, wow, this looks very nice. Look at the decoration. Look at all the people. Look at everyone buying this. I need it, and so on. You talk about it. And when it's time to close the shop or the supermarket, you walk out and you have not even bought what you went to buy. It was on sale. It was there. People were buying it, but you didn't buy it because you were too engrossed in the decoration, in the crowd, in the excitement. Do you know what? The month of Ramadan, so many things are on sale from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many things are on sale. Allah gives you at half price, quarter price, not a third of the price, 1/70th of the price, which is a fraction. Something going for 700 only goes for one dirham. 700th. So you want to buy something for 700, they tell you pick it up for one. Allah Almighty has placed a beautiful gift for us by telling us, you want to achieve forgiveness? Come, say, oh Allah, you love to forgive. You are forgiving, you love to forgive, so forgive me. When you say that, I will forgive you. I will forgive you. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. Oh Allah, you are forgiving, you love to forgive, so forgive me. Allah says, as soon as you say that sincerely, you really mean it, I will forgive you. When He forgives you, your slate becomes clean. That's why if you look at Ramadan, every hadith that speaks about the acts of worship in Ramadan speaks about how that act will actually bring about the forgiveness of Allah. Can I give you an example? مَنْ صَامَ رَمَضَانَ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. What's the point here? Whoever fasts Ramadan, Allah says, all his or her previous sins are forgiven. Look how forgiveness came into play. Another hadith. مَنْ قَامَ رَمَضَانَ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. Whoever stands in prayer at night in Ramadan with conviction and expecting a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what will he do? He will wipe out all the previous sins of that person. I give you another example. مَنْ قَامَ لَيْلَةَ الْقَدْرِ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. One night, the night of decree, known as Laylatul Qadr, where the taqdeer is written for the next year. It's known as Laylatul Qadr, the night of decree. It is better than 1,000 months. Allah says, Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alfi shahr. That night of decree is better than 1,000 months. If you stand in it, or in that particular night in prayer, Allah says you will be forgiven. All your sins will be wiped out. So what are you achieving? You're achieving forgiveness, because that forgiveness is from the mercy of Allah, and the mercy of Allah will help you to get into paradise. Will help you to get into paradise. Now, going back to Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was searching for his maker because his father used to worship idols, and he said, no, I can't do this. I'm not going to worship stones and sticks that don't benefit, they don't harm. He asked his father, لِمَ تَعْبُدُ مَا لَا يَسْمَعُ وَلَا يُبْصِرُ وَلَا يُغْنِي عَنْكَ شَيْئًا. Why are you worshipping something that cannot see, it cannot hear, it cannot avail you at all regarding anything? So the father didn't like the question, but Ibrahim alayhi salam did not stop looking for the answer until he realized, whoever made everything, I face him in worship and him alone. وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. This is Ibrahim alayhi salam. He says, I face my face towards the one who created the skies and the earth, an entire creation. Him alone I will worship, and I'm not from among those who is associating partners with him in any way, shape, or form. When he realized that that's his maker, he promises Allah, "Oh Allah, I will worship you alone." He says, "Ma ana min al-mushrikeen." Allah decided, this young man has recognized me. I need to test him. Let me test him. Why does Allah need to test you? He tests you because he wants you to be able to prove your belief. In Surah Al-Ankabut, Allah says, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Allah Almighty says so beautifully that do people think it's sufficient for them to say we are believers and then they are not tested? Allah says we tested those before them in order to distinguish. To distinguish what? Who was truthful and who are the liars? I'm a believer. Are you really a believer? I'm a follower of the Prophet. Are you really a follower of the Prophet? It's a strong question. Many of us say, I believe and I am the follower of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But what you are doing and how you behave is in another direction altogether. Ramadan gives you the opportunity to reflect on that and to change that. You say, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, I bear witness that Muhammad, peace be upon him, is my messenger. Are you prepared really to follow the messenger? Because there's no point in saying he's the messenger and you, the message is not important to you. What's the point of saying he's the messenger? Are you truthful or are you not truthful? The same applies. You say, Allah is my Lord, but whatever Allah has told you, you're not interested. How is he your Lord? Is it just lip service? Are you just saying it? Or are you serious? So Allah Almighty tells you to do things. Everything he tells you to do is beneficial, whether you understand it or you don't understand it, whether you know the reasoning or you don't know the reasoning. Can I give you some examples? Why do you pray 5 times a day? What's the true answer? Because Allah said that. That's all. I have no other answer. Allah said it, I will do it. Why do you read Fajr early morning? Why do you make Dhuhr after the Zenith? Why do you actually do Asr in the afternoon? Why do you do Maghrib immediately after the sunset? Why do you do Isha? Why did you do Taraweeh? To be honest with you, I don't know. I don't need to know. The fact that Allah said it, it's enough and sufficient for me. How did I get the answer? Ibrahim alayhi salam. When Allah instructed him, he did not question Allah. He knew there is benefit for me. Why are you fasting in Ramadan? Because Allah said so. It's in the Quran. Fast. Right? فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْ. Whoever witnesses the month should fast. I'm fasting in Ramadan. You ask me why? I say, I don't know. All I know is Allah told me that's sufficient and enough. More than that, I don't know. But today, modern medicine is telling you there is benefit for fasting. You fast Mondays and Thursdays. You fast so many days. They call it intermittent fasting. They call it so many other things. That's okay. It's a bonus. I knew if Allah told me to do it, I will do it. Whatever came as a result is only a byproduct that was a bonus, but that was not my main intention. Some people, they fast in order to lose weight. You know that? They say, hey, let me fast in Ramadan. I'm going to lose weight. I think with us, it's the opposite. In Ramadan, we gain weight, right? Yeah, because you have iftar and everyone's eating and at night they eat so much they can't even stand, you feel bloated. Learn to control, inshallah. Ramadan is a month of habit building, control, discipline, sabr, a month of seeking forgiveness. Remember, if your intention is, I'm doing this for the pleasure of Allah, you will have a lot of bonuses, side benefits that you didn't aim at, but they came to you. So you became healthy, your sicknesses went, you became a person who's softer, your character improved. Look, I give you one more example. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Ramadan, you're not supposed to be putting something in your mouth, right? No food, nil by mouth. Not only not going in, but watch out what comes out. I need to be careful what goes in. I need to be careful what comes out. I cannot swear. I cannot be vulgar. I cannot be abusive. Does that mean outside Ramadan, it's okay to be vulgar? Ramadan, habit building. Allah wants you to become a better person. Watch your tongue. How do you talk to people? Do you respect people when you talk to them? Those who work for you, your family members, your parents, your in-laws, your spouse, your children, your brothers and sisters, your classmates, your workmates, those who work for you, those whom you work for. How do you talk to these people? Politely, mashallah. Amazing. You see, even the young boy knows, alhamdulillah. So we have to be polite, we have to be respectful. And Ramadan tells us, the month of Ramadan, one of the prime benefits is also to make sure that you watch what is uttered from your tongue. The hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, which we mention every year, he says, Allah does not need the fact that you stayed hungry if you are going to lie and deceive and bear false witness. Allah says, you wasted your time fasting. What was the point? In Ramadan, many of us give out zakah. Now zakah, you don't have to give it in Ramadan, but a lot of people prefer because the reward is multiplied. So they work out their accounts in a way that the ending of the year happens to coincide with Ramadan. Right? Many people do that. What percentage of your wealth, certain type of wealth, of your savings and so on, what percentage is supposed to go in zakat? Can you tell? 2.5, mashallah. I see there are a lot of wealthy people here all saying 2.5, 2.5, they all know. Mashallah, tabarakallah. May Allah bless all of us and grant us good wealth and sustenance that will be a blessing for all of us. Ameen. What do you have to do with the 2.5? You have to give it back to where it came from. It came from Allah, you're giving it back to Allah. Why are you giving it back to Allah? The true answer is, he said so. If I have 100 dirhams, 2.5 belongs to Allah. 97.5 is mine. So I cannot steal that. If I'm going to eat that, I'm eating something that does not belong to me. So Allah tells you, I want you to give it to poor people. Okay, it belongs to Allah. Whatever He says I should do with it, I'm going to do it. I gave 2.5% to the poor people. Now listen to this very interesting point, right? I took a small portion of this money that I have, 2.5%, and I planted it back. Allah calls it in the Quran, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ. Those who spend their wealth in the cause of Allah is like the example of a seed. Seed, small seed, you put it back. When you put it back, what did it do? It grew. It grew, the ears grew. Each one of them had 100 other seeds. So 700 seeds minimum, Allah multiplies it for you. When you give back something from what you have and you put it back where it came from, the way Allah wants, and you treat the people whom you've given the wealth to in the correct way. There's no point in giving and being arrogant. Hey, come here, throw the money. Don't throw the money. لا تبطلوا صدقاتكم بالمن والأذى. The Quran says, don't destroy your charities by bragging about it. Hey, I gave 2 million, I gave this much, I gave that. Why are you talking about it? And if you are saying it to your friends or to a group of people to encourage them, it's okay. But don't brag. Bragging means I'm pretending to be bigger than everybody else just because I gave. No. Allah says, don't destroy the reward of your charity by bragging and by harming people. You harm someone, you throw it at them, you belittle them, you keep on reminding them, you know what? You are rich because I gave you. I gave it. Stop talking about it. It's okay. You gave back a portion because Allah said, and when you gave back, Allah gives you more. أنفق يا ابن آدم أنفق عليك. Allah gives you the ingredient and the method of getting more wealth. You can only get more when you give. If you don't give, you won't get. The richest people are the most generous. They are not the people with the largest amount, but they are the people who are the most generous. Because if you keep and you keep and you amass and you're counting and it grows and it grows, when you die, nothing happened. That money went to someone else. But when you spent and you gave, you are benefiting from the money. You are a wealthy person. You are building your Jannah. You are building your paradise. You are giving Allah. You are empowering so many people. It will multiply. It will grow. Allah will give you more and more and more. The same example of a fruit. Name me one fruit. Let's see. Apple. Apple. Okay. We use the example of an apple. If you take an apple and you happen to take the seeds out of the apple, what percentage of that apple is the seed? Have you ever thought of it? I think 2.5%. I think 2.5, okay. 2.5% of that apple, approximately, I might be totally wrong, but it's irrelevant what percentage it is, besides us knowing that it's insignificant. Mostly it's apple. You bite it, you're enjoying it, you bite it. When you bite the seed, does it feel nice? No, it doesn't feel nice. Mashallah, we have a good crowd today. Mashallah. Alhamdulillah. So it doesn't feel nice because Allah doesn't want you to eat the seed. When I was little, there was false news to say that if you eat the seed, what happens? It will come out of your ears. We were little, we used to hear that. It's obviously wrong. But the idea is, the seed, what are you supposed to do with the seed? You take it and put it back. Because if you put it back, it will bring you 700 apples. Allahu Akbar. Look at this. Allah gives the example that your small percentage of that whole thing, give it back. Put it in the right place. Make sure you don't eat it. It's not yours. Put it back into the soil and water it nicely. Look after it. A tree will grow. The whole orchard will grow. And you know what will happen? You will have trees and many trees and hundreds and thousands of more apples and more and more. Look at the watermelon, right? A watermelon. You have quite a few seeds in the watermelon. What are you supposed to do with those seeds? I can tell you what, I can roast those seeds and actually have them, mashallah. Those pumpkin seeds and watermelon seeds, they're also quite beneficial. But if you want more pumpkins, you have to take those seeds and you have to plant them. If you're not prepared to plant it, you won't get. Whose design is this? It's Allah's design. Allah tells you the same thing about your wealth. Your wealth is like a big apple. Don't eat the seed. The 2.5%, you take it out and put it back. What will happen? It will bring you back 700 apples. It will bring you back so much more. This is Allah. So whenever Allah instructs you to do something, be happy. Trust Him. You have to trust Allah. He's your maker. You have no option but to trust Him. You have no option but to go back to Him. The day I go back to Him, I say, oh Allah, forgive me. I'm a human. I have faltered. I have committed sins. I tried my best. I have sought forgiveness so many times. I still seek forgiveness. Forgive my shortcomings. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me and grant me paradise. Treat me in a beautiful way when I come back to you. And have conviction that Allah has heard you and He will grant it to you by His will and His favor, His mercy. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that the belief and the iman that we have has a sweetness to it. Sometimes we're praying and we don't achieve sweetness. I'm not enjoying it. I'm just praying and I'm forcing myself. No problem. Force yourself. There will come a stage when you're young and you're just starting to practice when you will need to push yourself to do something that sometimes your system is telling you, I'm lazy, I don't feel like doing it. If you don't feel like doing it, but you are doing it for the sake of Allah, He will reward you. And He will give you a graduation to another level. Do you want to know what's the new level? There will come a day when you start praying because you love to pray. You love to pray. You see, as you grow older, initially you prayed because you had to pray. It was compulsory and even if you felt lazy, you still did it because you had to do it. There comes a time when you're no longer lazy. You're looking forward to it. You're loving it. You're enjoying it. That's a sign of the love of Allah. May Allah love us. You want to read Quran. Initially, you have to push yourself. If you don't push yourself, no one is going to push you. I want you to pick up the Quran every day or from the app on your phone. And you should read some portion of it, even if it is only two verses. Only how many verses? Only two verses, but you must push yourself. You must pick it up and read two verses and close it. You know what will happen? When you make time for the Quran, it pulls you. It magnetizes you. It will ensure by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obviously, but the magnetization of the beautiful words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, two verses will not be enough. You will automatically read a third one, a fourth one, a fifth one, and then you will spend a certain time every day when you read Quran early morning for 15 minutes. And if you don't do it, you will feel like your day is missed. Your day is missed. Because you built a habit. You did it for Allah. You know it's beneficial. What is happening to you. You are becoming pleased with the fact that Allah is your Lord. All the instructions He gave you, they have the highest meaning for you. Whether you've understood the detail or not, the fact that it came from Allah is sufficient. I want to give you another story. Ibrahim alayhi salam was instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to sacrifice his son. Did he say, why? It doesn't make sense. Did he say that? No. He said, if you said this, I'm going to do it. He told his son, Allah Almighty has shown me this. The son says, if Allah said it, do it. Imagine the type of mindset they had, the type of belief they had, so strong. It does not make sense to any human being to be told to sacrifice his son. It does not make sense to anyone. But whether it made sense or not for Ibrahim alayhi salam, the fact that it came from Allah, he said, I'm going to do it. And Allah knew that that's not going to happen. Allah knew that He's going to replace this sacrifice with a ram. فَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ. Allah speaks about it in the Quran, how it was replaced. And Allah says, يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا. Oh Ibrahim, you have indeed gone to fulfill and been truthful regarding the dream and the vision and the instruction that we have given you. That was Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah told him to do something that did not make sense. The fact that it came from Allah, he didn't question it, he went to do it. I want to give you another thing that does not make sense. Not to us. Ibrahim alayhi salam is in the desert with his wife Hajar alayhi salam and his son Ismail alayhi salam, and Allah tells him, I want you to go. Go away, go to Baytul Maqdis. What about these people? He didn't even ask what about these people. There was no question. The fact that Allah said go, he started walking. Does it make sense? Imagine you go with your family in the middle of the desert. Please don't do this, okay? But you go in the middle of the desert and suddenly you start walking away and you look at your wife and your child and say, I'm going. You don't even look at them. You start going. You drive out. And they're wondering, what's going on? So his wife is asking, Allahu amaraka bihada. Did Allah instruct you to do this? Look at the question. The question is not, hey, where are you going? What are you doing? Nothing like that. Look at how happy they were with Allah. How pleased they were with Allah being their Lord. With the instruction coming from Allah. The Quran says, Ala lahul khalqu wal amru. Indeed, for Him is the creation. He created. So therefore, He has the right to instruct. If Allah made me, He's the right to tell me what to do. In this world, you go for a job and you have a boss. The boss tells you, come at 7 o'clock, you're there at 5 to 7. The boss tells you, you can't go, you won't go. The boss, why? Because that's your boss. That's a boss for giving you a salary at the end of the month. Allah is the Lord of the worlds who gave you your entire life and He's going to take you away when you leave this world. If Allah tells you something, you must make sure you've understood. If this comes from Allah, I'm not going to question it. Learn from Ibrahim alayhi salam. The story is mentioned not for nothing, for us to learn. Allah is not going to tell you to sacrifice your son. Allah is not going to tell you leave your family and go. That was a very high level. That was a level for a prophet of Allah. Very high. That was a level that you and I would never be able to do anyway. Allah is telling you pray 5 times a day. Allah is telling you stay away from haram. Allah is telling you fast properly in the month of Ramadan. Watch your tongue. Don't hurt people. Don't harm people. Worship Allah alone. Learn about Allah. Learn about the messenger. Learn the seerah and the life of the Prophet Muhammad. Peace be upon him. Are those difficult instructions? Not at all. Allah is not telling you to do something that really is so tough and so difficult. But the wife is saying, did Allah instruct you? As soon as he was replying in the affirmative, she was happy. If Allah instructed, khalas, He will look after us. How will Allah look after you? There is no water, there is no drink. Some of us have lost our jobs and we find it difficult to look for jobs. Some of us are looking for jobs. How will we get the job? Look, you connect with Allah and you keep trying hard. She did not sit and make dua, oh Allah, you took my husband, you told him to go. So I want you to give me, I'm sitting here, you make sure that the water comes and the food comes. No, she didn't sit. She got up. And she started looking for a sign of life, a sign of people. Where did she run? From which mount to which mount? From Safa to Marwa. And Marwa back to Safa. Up, looking, checking, coming back, going there, checking, coming back. And guess what happened? At a certain point, water started gushing out miraculously. When water gushed out, the birds came. When the birds came, the people, the caravans came. They saw all of that was the help of Allah. Allah wanted that water of Zamzam to be gushing up to today. All of us seated here, or almost all of us, we have some Zamzam, or we have had some Zamzam. And perhaps we have it at home as well. Am I right? When did that well start? Was it not Hajar alayhi salam? Was it not the sacrifice when she was happy with Allah and she said, "Oh Allah, you told us to do something. I'm going to do it. We're not questioning anything. I'm just going to try. You help me and I'm going to make an effort." She tried not one time, not two times, not three times, seven times. I tell the people who look for a job, I said, "You know what? You applied one, two places and you're saying, I can't find a job. Apply every day to seven places. See how quickly you get a job." But we are lazy. We are not prepared to do what Hajar alayhi salam did. She went one, two, three, four, five. You might have to do that every day for 1 month. You get the job. But if you're just going to sit and say, "You know what? Inshallah, I get a job. Oh Allah, I'm making salah. I'm doing tahajjud. I'm reading Quran. I'm in hijab. I'm doing this. Why am I not getting a job?" Because you didn't go up and look for it. That's why. It's waiting outside. Subhanallah. So what a beautiful lesson we learn. Allah will open your doors. He wants you to make dua and He wants you to make an effort. They were happy with Allah, the instruction of Allah. Allah Almighty told them to do things that for us did not make sense. They did it because they knew where it came from. Let's get into the habit of doing what Allah says. If Allah tells you dress this way, don't question it. Don't justify not doing it. Do it because Allah said it, and you will see the broader benefit. Because if you don't, then obviously there is going to be some negativity. There is going to be something that might not be a positive that you may have to face because you did not obey the instruction of Allah. The same applies. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, who was he? Is he not the best of creation, the most noble of all prophets of Allah? Are you not happy that he is your messenger? People pick on him. People try to say things. People try to do things. Let me tell you what. No Instagram, no Facebook, no Twitter, no TikTok, no internet, no phones, no technology, no nothing. He still has more than 2 billion followers on earth. More than 2 billion. No internet, nothing. No technology, no even loud hailer. You see, I'm speaking to you. You can hear me, right? Because there is a microphone. No microphone, no nothing. He started off. What happened? It grew so big. Who allowed it to grow? Allah and Allah alone. His people who lived with him, they loved him. They said he was the best. His family, his friends, they were the first to accept Islam. His circle was the first to accept Islam. If he was not a good person, his closest friends would never have accepted the message. Who accepted it first? His wife, his closest friends, Abu Bakr and the likes, they accepted Islam first. Khadija binti Khuwaylid radiallahu anh, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anh, he was living in the house. He knew the man. It was his cousin. He was much younger than him, but he saw this cousin of his and he loved him to pieces and he accepted immediately. If you are saying this, it's the truth. When Mi'raj happened, people did not believe. What happened to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu? The kuffar came and they tried to say, "Is this even possible?" You know what his answer was? "Wallahi, if that man said it, I believe it." It's over. When you hear something about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it is more true than what I am saying right now and anyone else is going to say. If the Prophet, peace be upon him, declared something, it is a declaration for me because I consider him a messenger. When I entered the faith and when I want to declare my faith, I have to say, "Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah." I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. If I am truthful in that statement, then everything he said is a message for me. That's Muhammadan Rasulullah. I know how to pray. I know how to do things. I've had the instructions. I've heard what he said. I know what is there. Subhanallah. Do you consider him a Nabi? Yes. Are you proud of him being your Nabi? Yes. Well, then say it. Say it. Are you proud that Islam is your religion? Don't be afraid. Islam is my faith. I'm so happy. If people like me, alhamdulillah. If they don't like me, alhamdulillah. I don't care. You can like me or don't like me. Some people, the minute you say, I'm a Muslim, they might look at you, in some places in the world, they might look at you with an eye of skepticism. And they might think, this is a bad guy. It's up to you to make sure you carry yourself with the true Islam so that they can see, if they are sincere, that it's not what they think it is. But some people might hate you just because of what you look like. They might hate you just because of your name in some places. Whose problem is that? Is it your problem or their problem? Wallahi, it's their problem. Imagine you go somewhere, I'm giving you a strange example, and someone asks you, what's your name? And the minute you say Abdul Aziz, they start looking at you and they say, oh wow, what was that name? It's just a beautiful Arabic name. What's the big deal? It's so amazing, mashallah. If they don't like you because of your name, you know what? They can fly a kite. They can fly a kite. It's okay. If they interact with me, they will realize oh, this person's actually a very good person. But sometimes it won't be. Must I give up my faith because I'm worried about what people are going to think of me? No. If I want to go to the masjid, for example, I must go. I shouldn't worry about, oh, what are people going to say? A lot of the times, people would be inspired by the fact that you're determined and you're a worshipper. I know so many people who have turned to Islam because they watch how the Muslims pray. They watch how the Muslims read Quran, how they fast in Ramadan, how they go for Hajj and Umrah, and so on. When you and I go for Hajj and Umrah, what do we do? We do what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam instructed us to do by the instruction of Allah, connected a lot of it to Ibrahim alayhi salam. If I tell you why are you going around the Kaaba 7 times, do you know what's the true answer? Allah said so. That's it. Allah said so. I will never be able to explain to you why are you kissing this black stone. I don't worship it. I don't believe that it benefits or harms. But because we were instructed, you know what? Kiss the stone, I'll kiss the stone. That's it. What's the big deal? Subhanallah, the big deal is in obeying the instruction. That's it. Do you worship the Kaaba? No, you don't. But you face it. Why do you face it? Because Allah said so. That must be the answer of a believer. Why are you in hijab? Because Allah said so. Why are you doing this? Because Allah said so. If you know more than that, some detail for some reason, alhamdulillah. If you don't know the detail, no problem. For as long as you follow the instruction, you are successful. That is why the Prophet ﷺ says, ذَاقَ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ مَنْ رَضِيَ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ رَسُولًا. The one who truly has tasted the sweetness of faith, who is he or she? He is the one who is happy with Allah as his Lord, with Islam as his faith, with Muhammad, peace be upon him, as his messenger. If you are happy with that, in our language, if you are proud to be a Muslim, proud to be a follower, proud to be created by Allah, to have him as your Lord, to have Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam as your messenger, to have Islam as your deen, then you will taste the sweetness of faith. But if you're ashamed, you're not so, you want to hide about it, you know, you're thinking about, then you will not taste the sweetness of faith. When you taste the sweetness of faith, it is achieved by disciplining yourself for the sake of Allah. So many distractions we have on earth. You can earn money. Money you can earn through many ways. Some are halal and some are haram. Which one would you choose? Mashallah. Everyone knows how to make money, huh? Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. May Allah bless us. We choose the halal way, but there is other haram ways. What should you do? You stay away. It's okay. You don't steal, you don't deceive, you don't pinch, you don't do something that's wrong and so on. And even if I have slightly less, I will be happy with less. But when you have stolen and you stole and you made millions and millions, will you be happy? You won't be happy because what you did was not disciplined. So this is why Allah says, if you are satisfied with Islam as your deen, you are satisfied with the messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as the prophet of Allah, the messenger of Allah. You are satisfied with Allah as your Lord. You have given him the right of giving you instructions, which you will follow just like Ibrahim alayhi salam followed, without questioning. If Allah said, this is your aura, you got to cover it. I will cover it. If Allah said, you have to do this, I will do it. I will not question it. That's faith. Similarly, In some cases, we have difficulty and hardship. What should we do about it? Today, we're living in a world where there are so many challenges. People have lost loved ones. Some people lost their fathers, their mothers, their wives, their husbands, their children, their brothers, their sisters, whoever you might lose. What should you do? Should you become angry with Allah? Why did you take him away? Should you become angry? No. You should say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Oh Allah, make it easy for me to go through the challenge. I lost money. I lost a loved one. I lost a job. I lost something. When you lose something, when negativity happens, when you are unhealthy, when you have a terminal illness, when you're not well and in the hospital, don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. For as long as you have Allah on your side, you have nothing to worry about, even if you have zero. Even if you have zero. Sometimes Allah loves you so much, He wants you to come close to Him. And you're not so close because you're earning and you are busy doing so many other things. You don't come to the masjid. You're never connected with Allah. You don't read Quran. If Allah loves you and wants you to come, sometimes He decides to test you with something that is considered negative. So what does He do? You're now unwell. You're sick. You went to the doctor. The doctors don't know what's wrong. You're losing weight. Something is happening to you. You have no idea. What did you do? I started praying. Which prayer? Tahajjud. Early morning. Before Fajr, and I was there for Fajr. What did you get up for Tahajjud for? Bro, I have a problem. Bro, I went to the doctors. They told me they don't know what's wrong. Or sometimes you say, hey, I suffered a loss. I really don't know what's going to happen. It's such a big issue. Allah brought you. He brought you to what? To Him. You started praying. You started crying. You changed your life. You quit your bad ways. You made tawbah from haram. You left everything that was wrong. And you started doing the right thing because you want the help of Allah. Right? You want the help of Allah. So what did Allah do to you? He brought you closer to Him through a problem. If the problem was not there, maybe you were not going to come close. So thank Allah. Oh Allah, you gave me a problem. I thank you. With that problem, I became a better person. I came closer to you. But when Allah alleviates the problem and cures you and grants you what you were looking for, don't turn away. Don't turn away. Many people, they ask Allah, oh Allah, grant me, oh Allah, give me, and you are crying tahajjud and so on. I make tahajjud. The day everything happens, you stop making tahajjud. What happened? My problem is solved. Subhanallah. So, brother, you were making tahajjud, you had a problem. Now that there's no problem, you stopped it, okay? Tahajjud is not a compulsory prayer. But at least thank Allah sometimes. At least read your farad. At least do something which is beneficial. At least continue doing what Allah requires from you. You become a better person. You become a better person sometimes through a problem. Now, the bonus is when you become a better person through ease. When Allah gives you, you become better. When you're the most intelligent in the classroom, you are the best person in character. When you are the wealthiest, as you grow, you become so humble. When Allah has given you authority, or you're a manager, or whatever, you become such a lovely person because you are thankful to Allah. That is a bonus. That is a gift. So when your gift brings you closer to Allah, it is a true gift. When your sickness brings you closer to Allah, it is a gift as well. But when your gift takes you away from Allah, it's not a gift. It's not a positive thing. It's not a sign of the pleasure of Allah. Anything that drives you away from Allah is something that you need to worry about. You need to be careful about. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. Before I end, I want to teach you something very important. We all want Jannah. We all want Jannah. What is Jannah? Paradise. Paradise. We all want paradise. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-Jannah. Oh Allah, I ask you for Jannah. I ask you to grant us all paradise. Ameen. Do you know that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, man qala, whoever says the following phrase, Jannah will become compulsory on them. So I want to say it three times in the morning and three times in the evening. Or I want to say it when the muadhin says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, then I want to say the following statement. What am I going to say? Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ رَسُولًا. Those are three little phrases put together as one sentence. I am pleased. I am pleased with Allah as my Lord, with Islam as my deen, as my faith, with Muhammad, peace be upon him, as my messenger. You say that, you repeat it thrice in the morning, evening. When you say that, man qala, whoever says this statement, wajabat lahul jannah. Paradise becomes compulsory upon that person. Allah will give it to you because you're saying it with conviction. It will help you. Do you really mean it? Yes, I mean it. Well, if that's the case, then inshallah, you will become an amazing, awesome, beautiful soul. You will enjoy the difficulty, the hardship that you're facing on earth because you have contentment. You are the happiest soul. You are so content. You look forward for the day when you're going to meet with Allah. I always look at the beauty that I found on earth. Look at this beautiful city of Dubai, for example. Look at this lovely masjid, the Mirdif Grand Masjid. May Allah grant Jannah to those who made this masjid and who built it and who looked after it and who took care of it and continue to take care of the masjid and all those who have built all other masjids. But when you look at how beautiful everything is and you take a look at the faces of the people who come and you take a look at everything you find on earth, you look at the beauty of the beaches and the sea and the desert and the greenery, and you think to yourself, subhanAllah, whoever made this, if I'm so impressed by what he made, how impressed will I be with the maker himself? With the maker himself. I have a friend who was speaking to some people in a far off country. I'm not too sure what country it was. And he is a person who calls towards Allah. He's a da'i. He invites people towards Islam. And he said, he went to one place where they were worshipping a beautiful mountain made of rock. And the people, he asked them, what do you worship? They said, we worship this mountain. Imagine, they said, we worship this mountain. It was beautiful. It was awesome, amazing, big, magnificent, majestic, absolutely stunning. They say, we worship this rock. This sheikh, this brother, Allah gave him an idea, such a beautiful idea. Listen to this. He told them, if I make a cake for you, a very nice cake, beautiful chocolate cake, and it tastes awesome and amazing, and I give it to you and say, this is your cake, will you thank the cake or will you thank me? You will thank me because I made the cake. So he says, so why do you want to worship the mountain? Why don't you worship the one who made the mountain? Some of them became Muslims as a result of this, because it made sense. I give you the cake. Are you going to thank the cake? Thank you, thank you. You taste very nice. You taste very nice. Or are you going to thank me who made the cake or gave you the cake? You have to thank the one who made it. The same applies. You want to worship the creatures and the creation. You have to worship the creator of that entire creation. So I'm always thinking to myself, if Allah has made things on earth that I look at and I see, wow, amazing. I say, subhanallah, I wonder how majestic and awesome and amazing the creator himself will be. So now we start looking forward to the day when we're going to meet with Allah. Man ahabba liqa Allah, ahabba Allahu liqa'ahu. Whoever is looking forward to the meeting with Allah with love, Allah is looking forward for the day he's going to meet them as well with similar love. Are you looking forward to the meeting with Allah? Well, I can tell you, to prepare for that day, seek the forgiveness of Allah often. Fulfill your obligations and ask Allah to accept, and prostrate a lot. Make sure your salah is in order. The Prophet ﷺ told one of his companions to help him to get him a place in paradise by fulfilling sujood often, a lot. Read your prayer. Don't be lazy. Get up in the morning. You will be the most amazing person. Look, when someone gets up in the morning and they start their day early, it's a very productive day. The most productive day is when you start off very early. When people have started early, it's 11 o'clock and you've already achieved so much. But when you sleep up to 11, other people have already done what you are not even going to do the whole day. So the day passes and you haven't done anything. Do you know why? Because you did not start early. When you start early, there is barakah in your day. So Allah did the believers a bonus and a favor, and He told them, just get up for Fajr, and that's when your day starts. Imagine what type of a favor. But many of us, no. We will sleep, we will laze, we will find excuses. May Allah strengthen us. May Allah give us the ability to be steadfast. When you become a beautiful soul and a beautiful person, people will enjoy your company. And on top of that, the angels will record all the goodness. And subhanAllah, you will be known in the heavens more than on earth. Some people are famous on earth, but in the heavens, they are unknown. They have no deeds that are being written. And some people, no one knows them on earth, but in the heavens, they are very famous. Every day they are doing so many good deeds and so much. Which one would you like to be? May Allah Almighty be pleased with us. And may Allah Almighty grant us goodness in this world and the next. I really have enjoyed the crowd because of how interactive it was. I can see we love you too, Habibi. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you all goodness. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward us for all the good that we've done. Subhanallah. May Allah bless you. You know, if it wasn't for the safety instructions that I have, I would have been in the crowd. But you know, we have to be following all the safety regulations, and therefore we want to avoid stampeding. We have to avoid hurting anyone by anything. If I were to come down, I would love to take a photo with you, but I think it would hurt a lot of the people. If you just faced your camera the other way and took a selfie from where you are, you can achieve it. MashaAllah. But I think it's only correct that we respect everyone and we don't allow the stampeding as we leave, inshaAllah. Pray for the Ummah, and may Allah Almighty grant us goodness and ease. Barakallahu feekum. وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.